היה מגיפה.
So, welcome everybody to program number 2 of Shidurei HaMapecha, or in English, Broadcasting the Pandemic.
Magifa, magifa.
מה אמרתי?
מהפכה.
אה, מהפכה. Oh, so, my mistake.
מהפכה של מגפה.
Shidurei HaMapecha. This is going to be a really interesting chapter or program. It's going to be with Ali, a good friend of mine from my last trip to Europe. Ali is going to introduce himself in a couple of minutes. He's from Cairo, he's in our age, and we're going to hear, ask, and listen about the life, 4 hours of drive from here, but maybe mentally much more far away. And I just say that English, it's a second language for all of us, so we all gonna break our mouth a little bit if it's kind of thing that you can translate, but I feel comfortable to make this conversation in English, and I hope you enjoy this chapter. So hi Ali.
Hi. Hi Omer.
Hi. So I would like for our audience and people that's going to see this podcast in a few days, if you can introduce yourself shortly and generally about your life, what you study, like hobbies, things that you do in the last years, and to tell us a little bit about the life in Cairo.
Okay. So my name is Ali. I studied business, HR and international business. My hobbies are like studying languages mostly. I studied Spanish, Portuguese, Japanese, and some other languages the past few years. And right now, right before the coronavirus started, I was applying for some jobs. But then, like, everything is on hold now because of the virus. And yeah.
Nice. So
I like traveling.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, when I met Ali, so I've been in Spain, and he's kind of been in his kind of Euro trip, his own Euro trip. And from the moment that I was back home in September, I think Ali was traveled 4 times more.
Just once.
No, to Los Angeles and.
I went to Los Angeles, San Diego, and San Francisco, like in one trip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So for me, it's felt more. So I would say that it's a huge opportunity, because we just started this podcast. This is the second program of that podcast, and we thought that it's a huge opportunity to feel, to see, and to hear what's going on in Egypt in your eyes. So we have a couple of questions that talks about the coronavirus these days and the effect of this virus on Egypt and in your personal life, and then about like our personal life and things that are similar in Israel in Egypt and things that are different. And I think it would also be a good opportunity of you to ask us something if you want. And so Adi.
Okay, I'll start with the coronavirus situation.
Yeah.
So I didn't look at the news last night, but last time I looked, we had like 400 and something cases confirmed. And not sure how many death cases, but I think 18 or something like that. And so it started out like, you know, like maybe 15 days ago, like the government closed everything, the schools, the universities, malls, but supermarkets are opened, most companies are opened, especially the private companies, not the public sector companies, you know, but the private sector companies are still opened. At the beginning, until maybe last week, they made like the employees go normally to work. But now most of them are making them work from home. And then, like, what else? Like, Yeah, so the situation is getting more serious. So like the government started doing a curfew as well. So nobody can go out from 7 p.m. till 6 a.m. every day. And then like, yeah. And they said also Friday and Saturday, everything is closed, everything.
And there, there is more police power in the street or stuff, or just it's more like
after 7 p.m. Yes, after yeah. 7 p.m. the police is in the street to make sure that nobody's in the street.
So if you could just explain a little bit maybe what a typical day in Cairo looked like maybe 2 months ago, as opposed to what it looks like now, like how many, a lot of people on the streets, a lot of maybe bars or clubs open, and what it looks like today, as opposed to that, because I have no idea. I've never been to Cairo.
Okay, so usually, you know, like Cairo is like 23 million people, so it's really big. So, you know, you're always going to find people on the street, and there's always traffic, and it's horrible. So, like now, like for 2 weeks now, there has not been traffic. And I live right beside a main street. So I can see always traffic there. But for 2 weeks, I didn't see, I like maximum, I see 3 cars passing every 10 minutes or something, you know? So yeah. I'm not going to say everybody's quarantining, but like, or like not everybody's on quarantine, but most people are doing it. But the problem is there's a lot of poor people, like we have a lot of poverty in Egypt, and a lot of people need to go out because their salary is like daily salary. They don't have a monthly salary, you know? Mm-hmm. So they cannot afford to stay at home because they're not going to have money and they're not going to buy food, you know? So they need to go out for their jobs, you know? And also some people in the private sector, they can afford to stay at home, but they will lose their jobs if they do. So they need to go, you know? So, but the majority, like the students and the moms and anybody who can stay at home, they stay at home.
Got it. And how, what about Egyptian culture has changed since the coronavirus outbreak? Has any Egyptian cultural norms sort of been, how would I say, been questioned since the social distancing aspect of the coronavirus has taken place?
Not questioned, but like, let's say, you know, I think it's the same there as well. Like when you say hi or like when you meet your friends, you always hug and kiss, you know, yes. We don't do that anymore. And also a big part is that the mosques and the churches, they closed, you know, so for like 10 days now, you know, like Christians even cannot go to their churches. They're like for their Sunday mass, it's closed. Also mosques, like today is Friday and there's no Friday prayer. This is a big part of the culture here.
Yes.
And didn't happen today because it's closed because of, and then the mosques are closed in general, not only for the Friday prayer, for any kind of anything. Even for funerals, it's closed. You cannot do a funeral in a mosque now.
Wow. So have the religious leaders sort of taken the leadership in this aspect? Because I know that in Israel, there's a very large ultra-Orthodox community, which has been questionable in the way that they've been playing along with the government and taking this virus seriously, or this outbreak. So you're saying that in Egypt, the religious leaders have taken responsibility and have closed the religious, the mosques and the churches.
Yes, like actually, like the Christian Pope started first, and he said, like, I think it was last Sunday or Saturday, and he said, like, there's no mass and the churches are closed. And then the next day in the morning, I don't know, what do you call it, like the Sheikh, or like our Pope.
Yeah,
so like he came on TV also the next morning and he said mosques are closed too.
Wow.
Yeah. Ali, I have a question about the young people. We are in Tel Aviv and generally in Israel, we find Egypt and especially Sinai Desert and the beaches very, very attractive. And we want to go there and visit your country. So I want to know what the young people in Egypt think about Israel, about Tel Aviv. Do you think about it? What is your wishes? I don't know.
Okay, do you want my opinion or like the general opinion?
Both, the general and yours. Yeah.
Okay, so the general opinion here is like, you know, most Egyptians, I'm not gonna lie, they don't like Israel, you know, like they think, you know, like a lot of bad things happen there, you're mistreating Palestinians and I know everything we see on the news, you know? And, but like how I see it, like, you know, like most Israelis I've met, they were really nice, like Omer and other people I've met while traveling. And most actually had like a good point of view about the conflict. They were not like super pro, like treating Palestinians bad or anything, you know, like and actually most Israelis I met were like against the government there, you know. So they're yeah. Even they don't like what the government is doing with Palestine and everything, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah, and then yeah, like when I was actually in California, there was this woman. She talked to me in a really bad way. She didn't say where she was from, but I think she was Jewish. But yeah, but like not everybody is racist and not everybody, you know, is bad. Yeah. But that's the thing, like what Egyptians, but not all Egyptians also, of course, like, but they put everybody under the same umbrella, you know, like.
Yeah. And you think in these days, in the new corona age, maybe we can build a bridge between the nations, maybe online, maybe literally between the borders, some new reality?
I'm not sure, to be honest. And I think like the two countries are so disconnected. It's like they're so close to each other, but they're so disconnected. They don't have a connection, you know? So it's so hard to make a connection. But I mean, I also have a lot of friends who go to Sinai and they meet Israelis, they smoke with them, they have friends there, they even know Hebrew, you know? And yeah. It just depends on the person and if they traveled a lot and they met a lot of people and they don't put everybody under the same umbrella, you know?
Yeah, I feel connected to what you say, the same general point of view of Israel. I think that if we see things as politicians see things, so we put everyone under same umbrella, as you said. And I think when we cut this kind of mental view and we just look on each other in a simple way without titles and stuff, so the bridge and the gap is not exist. And this is kind of I think a concept that we need to adopt. I try to adopt it myself, like that. I think that conversation, that kind of thing, is kind of a fight the politician reality that they want to make. And I think that's kind of thing that we need to divide politics and real life, because it makes sense that like I have friends that support Netanyahu government, but they are like still good friends of mine. And I think that my wish is like also we can make some connection between our neighbors in Egypt, for example, even if we will be divided on politics, because I think this is a gap that will maybe, I don't know, like will be harder to solve, but the connection is so easy. So I kind of feel the same as you said to answer to Jonathan, that you don't think the coronavirus will change it. I feel the same, that I think that it's too big. The conflict is too complicated that the coronavirus can change it, but it's a big opportunity to start the change. So I really connect to what you say.
Inshallah.
You want to say something?
No, I have another question, but if you have something to say.
No, go ahead.
I wanted to maybe add a little bit and also turn into a question. What is the how much does the Egyptian do the Egyptian people trust the government at this point to treat this virus as a serious issue and to make sure everything happens the way it should and the economy and the health scare passes as it should, because I know in Israel it's a very big conflict between the Netanyahu government, and we're not sure that he actually will is doing everything out of pure love for the public. I wanted to ask what the feeling like is in the Egyptian street.
Okay, so actually, like a lot of people, like in Egypt, it depends on the person also. A lot of people like, trust the government, and especially older people, they like the government. They support the government and everything. But usually younger people, like people my age, they're more skeptical, you know? And like, but actually since the conflict, like the coronavirus conflict had started, like the government did a lot, and we weren't expecting that the government would do so much. So actually a lot of people are trusting with the government right now because they're doing a lot of things. Like they went to China to import some things that machines for the hospitals and everything that they use in China, in Wuhan, they got them here. And, you know, they're trying to do their best. And every day, once in the morning and once at night, they disinfect the streets and they disinfect the metro, the public transportation. And in some places also,
we keep our program from the place we stop after some technical issues. So Ali, I would like you to tell us like how you learn Hebrew and how it's actually happened, because it's kind of a crazy thing. I don't know if you know, but Ali speaks 8 languages, and one of them 8, right? I'm not right. 8. And one of them is actually Hebrew. And when I figure it out, he's surprised me. In Spain, when he started to talk Hebrew after telling me that he's from Egypt, and it was kind of mind-blowing. And so I would like personally to hear the story, how it just happened, and how Sarit Haddad is connected to this story.
So one day I was like on YouTube, and Sarit Haddad song just popped out to me and I really liked it. And I started like listening to other songs, and it just started like that. And one time I was in the south of Egypt in a city called Luxor, and I met this Chinese girl, and we became friends, and she told me she was living in Jerusalem. So like 6 months after that, she told me two of her friends, they're Argentinian, but they live in Eilat, and they were coming to Cairo. So like, she was like, do you want anything from here? I can send you anything with them. I was like, can you bring me like a book to study Hebrew? And she sent me a book with them. So I took the book and I started studying.
Crazy.
Just by myself.
Amazing.
Can you keep listening to Sarit Haddad?
Nah, not anymore, to be honest. It's been a while.
I think she's good.
She has a new song. I want to listen to it.
That's nice. That's nice. That's really nice story. So we kind of in our ending of this program, and it's a time for the questions of the hand. I don't know how to explain it, like more general questions.
Yeah, maybe you have a good recommendation about a Egyptian musician you like, or some good artist you want to share with us?
Like what kind of music do you like?
Everything, actually.
Okay, like this festival, I invited Omer Tsuka to go to. The one that was gonna be in Sinai. It's like, you know, rock pop kind of like.
Yeah.
And one band was gonna play there. I'm gonna send you some songs for that band.
And I will share.
What is the name of the band?
It's called Masar Ikberi.
Sai.
Masar Ikberi.
Okay.
Awesome.
Yeah.
It's like, great. I don't know, like, you know, literally the name of the band is like, you know, when you're in a street and it's only one way.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know how to explain that.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
One way.
It's not one way street, but it's like, let's say it was two ways, and then at a certain point, you have to go straight, although that's not where you want to go, you know?
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
Nice.
You know, in the last few years, I hear a lot of good musicians from the Sahara Desert, you know, a lot of guitarists, and it's amazing. It's like a big, big phenomenon, I think, for the rock music world.
Yeah. You
know, people like Bombino, the sound is
Genari crazy. Way.
So
yeah.
You can share with us after or now. Yeah,
I can send you some names. I'll send you some names for the band, and you can check it out.
Yeah, and I will share it when we upload the podcast. And I found something interesting about the connection of the Israeli and the Egyptian cuisine. That we have kind of same things, but we treat them different. Like our view to hummus is different here and in Egypt. That's one thing that you learned me. And I think the falafel issue is kind of the same, if I'm not wrong, right?
But okay, falafel is different because in Cairo we eat it in a certain way, and the rest of Egypt eat it in another way. In Cairo, it's made from fool, you know fool, right?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
And in other places in Egypt, it's made from hummus and fool mixed together, or just hummus.
Mm. In Israel, it's just hummus, I think, the falafel balls.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, also like here in the, for example, the Syrian restaurants, they do it like this, or the Lebanese restaurants, they do it only with hummus. But in Cairo, it's only fool. And in Alexandria, for example, it's a mix. It's a mix of hummus and food together.
That's interesting.
Interesting.
And the best, like, I swear, like, the best falafel you can get is from Alexandria.
Yeah, the mixed ones.
Yeah, the mixed ones are the best.
And we need to try it.
And how you call the hummus? Not the hummus. Your, like, typical dish is similar to hummus. I don't remember the name of it.
Nowhere. Koshari, you mean?
Yeah, the one that is special in Cairo. That it's not hummus, but it's kind of
it's not like hummus.
Yeah, it's not like hummus at all. But it's like kind of the how we treat hummus mentally, I mean.
Yeah, it's called koshari.
How it's called?
Koshari.
Kushen?
Koshari.
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 Yeah. It's like pasta with lentils, fried onions, rice, tomato sauce, and garlic sauce.
Interesting. And what's the best time to come to Cairo? What is if I want to?
Do you like cold weather or do you like hot weather?
I like nice weather. I like being comfortable.
Okay, so like. Now is the best time, I think, like from now till June, it's really nice.
Mm.
But then by the end of June, July, August is horrible. July and August. Mm. Don't ever come in July and August. Yeah. I don't like being in Cairo in July and August. It's horrible.
Yeah,
but at least we have AC everywhere. Like at any restaurant, club, cafe you're going to enter, mall, there's always going to be AC, you know?
Yeah.
So... But like, yeah, the weather is better usually in the north, you know, in Alexandria, in
the
north coast, you know? It's usually like maximum 30 degrees in Alexandria.
When the coronavirus blows over, I'll give you a call. I'll come down.
Yes, you should.
So Ali, I want to ask you last question about, I know that you know a lot of things about Israeli culture from holidays, music, food, and I don't know much more. And I want to ask you what are your favorite things that you like, and I think maybe you give us one advice for us for one thing that you like in Egypt culture that we need to learn and look after the show. So I would like to hear.
Okay. Like, okay, I've never been to Israel, so like I can't really say I know everything, but from what I saw online or heard from friends, I think I would really like to go to Purim, you know? I think it's a nice party. And that's one thing I want to experience there, I think. And also that I think Egypt and Israel also like share a lot of things like the cuisine. It's even if it's different a bit, it's still quite similar, you know?
Yeah,
and one thing I really like about Egyptian culture, I would say the food. We have some of the best food in the world. And also I like how people interact with each other. I like how Egyptians are together, you know, like they always help each other. They always make sure that everyone is safe, you know, like if you're in Europe, for example, and somebody gets robbed in the street, nobody looks, you know, but here, no, they will, all the street will run behind him. They will catch him and they'll give you back your money, you know? So also something about the Corona, like a lot of Egyptians live in Europe. And since the Corona started in Europe, a lot of Egyptians offered other Egyptians who are in Europe, who need a place to stay at their house.
Wow.
And yeah, it's been actually like a really big thing. Like, yeah, and all of the traveling groups, everybody's like writing, if anybody needs a place in Berlin, I'm here, blah, blah, blah. You know, everybody's offering their houses for other Egyptians who are stranded in Europe, you know?
Amazing.
Amazing.
Yeah. Also, well, I can add a part. You were saying what the government has been doing. Also, actually, the government has been getting, like, you know, making planes go, like, the airport has been closed for 2 weeks now, but, the government has been going just to get Egyptians from countries in Europe and coming back again. That's another thing that the government has been doing also, which
Amazing.
Is, we never Amazing. Thought the government ever yeah. do, you know?
I think that people say that the Mediterranean countries are warm countries and culture that people not understand it. And I really feel you about what you say about the culture, that in a crisis, the people of the country know to gather together and take care to each yes. other, even around the world, not just and it's really interesting to see that it's same in Egypt and even more. And it's warming my heart, literally. To hear it, and I hope and I wish that we can make the gap between both countries, and not just spread this love, not just inside, also to the outside. And that's it. Thank you very much. It was a pleasure.